This year, Jerry lifted his team's face with the additions of several new players. Hear how they'll stitch it together this Friday at 2 during the Cowboys' State of the Team Address. Brought to you by Van Chevrolet and Bacardi Rum on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
5:18 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. The Hard Line. We're going to be out Friday. Don't forget. We're going to be out at the Firewater Grill out on the new restaurant row at 35 and Northwest Highway. And we're going to be in our superhero costumes. You come there, you're going to be able to see me dressed as Captain America. Corby is the Incredible Hulk.
Snape.
Reiner is going to be Superman. Danny is going to be Spider-Man. But the object of intrigue will be Kevin Scott.
Kevin Scott.
85-pound Batman uniform.
You'll notice me. I'll be the one that's hunched over, gasping for air as I get out of my car.
And we're all going to be out there. So if you want to see us in our superhero costumes, coming out this Friday, the Firewater Grill.
It's a cool place, too.
It is good. It is a good place. So, all right, we're getting back from vacation. Today's my first day. You had to work yesterday, right?
Yeah, I did.
You were back yesterday. Danny was back yesterday. And Reiner will be back tomorrow. And one of the cool things that we do when we go on vacation, we always have vacation talk. Danny was telling us earlier about his trip to Boston, going to Fenway Park and just the scene around the Boston area. Tomorrow is going to be pretty interesting to me because Reiner took his first ever trip abroad. He has never been
to Europe.
He's never been to Europe. Matter of fact, he's never been off the North American continent.
No, he never has. No.
So he went to Europe, Amsterdam and London. So we're going to find out about that. But you took a rustic back trail, backwoods hiking, where most snakes do go. I mean, they do go to canyons.
Snake.
And you went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a place I've been a couple times.
It's unbelievable. You know what people like, when they're like, where are you going on vacation? It's like, well, we're going up to Jackson Hole. First off, it's where is that? Mm-hmm. And second is, well, why?
I know. I get the same thing. When I go to Colorado during summer,
yeah,
everybody's like, well, why do you want to go there in the summer? I'm telling you.
It's better than the winter.
Anytime you want to go to the mountains, which I love the mountains, I love to ski. But for me, there is as much to do in the summer as there are the winter.
There's no question.
Thanks, Ron.
There's just as much to do. Well, Jackson Hole is the northwestern part of Wyoming. It's very close to Montana, and it's very close to Idaho. It's right there in a little triangle, the northwestern part of it.
Some of the best skiing.
Yeah, Jackson Hole's a nice place to ski.
Terrific skiing.
Well, the scenery up there, it is far and away, it's the most beautiful place I've been to, I think, on a hole. Mm-hmm. I thought Telluride was pretty, but Jackson Hole is, God, it is unbelievable.
And you're right there at Jellystone Park.
You're right by Yellowstone. You stay at the...
What about Norman? Are you leaving? Are you counting Norman?
Norman's fourth, behind Arlington. And
by the way, we're going to talk about Arlington coming up here in a minute because, hey, they threw their big giant money in the Cowboys Stadium ring. We're going to do that here in a minute.
Good tease. So we stay at the foothills of the Grand Tetons, which is a spectacular mountain range. And we have our whole week pretty much planned. We're going to take some long, gigantic hikes up into the Tetons. We're going to go to Yellowstone for a day.
Jellystone.
We're going to go rafting down the Snake River. Which we did. Then the Snake River. Thank you, Mike. The Snake River cuts all the way through that entire country.
It's where Evel Knievel jumped.
He did. He jumped the snake.
Yeah.
Or did he try? Snake. Yeah. He didn't really do a good job. He made about 60 feet.
Pretty piss poor effort, really.
So what we basically did, I'll tell the Yellowstone story first.
Jellystone.
It's actually Yellowstone. It's the first national park. You know that entire area, too.
NASCAR.
God, that's loud.
Boy, no kidding.
You know, that entire area, the Tetons and Yellowstone, it was bought up by John D. Rockefeller back in the 1800s.
He's the guy that started the national park.
Exactly. Because he noticed how pretty that country was, and he noticed that there was a bunch of whorehouses and saloons and...
Deadwood.
It was a bunch of deadwoods being set up in these beautiful part of the country.
God, that was a great day.
And so Rockefeller said, you know what, this is ridiculous. And so under an assumed name, because he didn't want people freaking out that he was buying up America, basically, he started buying up all this land and keeping people off of it. And he was trying to give it to the government.
He was the first conservationist.
Yes. He was trying to give all this land. He's like, take this. Do something with it. Don't let, you know, Joe Pistol have it. where he can bang all his whores on the land and just ruin everything and hunt and kill off everything.
Smoking Joe Pistol,
yeah.
Famous gunfighter of the West.
And eventually, it took about 50 years, yep. But the government finally acquiesced and said, okay, we'll take your land for free.
Fascinating history between about Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Another thing about Yellowstone, which I had no idea, it is the size, the entire park is the size of Vermont. Mm-hmm. We have a park the size of a state.
And let me tell you, they have posted rules there on what you can and can't do. And say you go down to Sam Houston National Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they tell you, hey, you know, no open flames, you know, you can have your fire. You don't screw up in Yellowstone Park.
No.
Because rangers will come from everywhere.
And, you know, they had a huge fire where hundreds of thousands of acres burned in 1988. And I don't know how it started. I think maybe it was a lightning strike. But, I mean, that place is
Smoking Joe.
It's still torched. Ah. And I showed you guys a picture of these trees. These, you know, 60-foot-tall pine-type trees that are just burnt to holy hell. Just basically the log is sticking up out of the ground. There's no branches or anything. And then below it, you can see all these 6-foot trees. And this is a fascinating story. I don't want to bore anyone with, like, nature talk. But the only way these trees can't die from fire. Like, they're built to where fire cannot destroy them. Because the only way that their seeds spread and the only way that they regenerate is through a fire. They have these little conifers on, like, every single branch.
What kind of tree is it?
These pine birch trees, I think is what they're called.
Wow.
And what happens is, once the temperature reaches 125 degrees, these conifers on these trees, basically when there's a fire,
mm-hmm.
they open up and their seeds fall out and they drop thousands of seeds.
And then they regenerate?
Only during fire. And so what you see is all these burn-up trees, and then below it, all these little trees that have grown since the fire in 88. 15-year-old trees that are about, you know, between 6 and, I don't know, 12, 15
that
feet
is
high.
Weird.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's the prettiest country I've ever been to. The Grand Canyon, I was showing you pictures of that just a second ago. I mean, it is stunning, the views you get on these, of the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. And the waterfalls, 300-foot waterfalls, and the wildlife there. I got within about 8 feet of a bison, not a buffalo, a bison. I mean, it looks like a prehistoric beast. You guys saw the picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's creepy looking. And mm-hmm. these things run 40 miles an hour. They're really agile. They look like just big.
And giant.
Oh, they are huge.
You weren't supposed to get that close, were you?
No, I got bitched out by a ranger. Speaking of rules, you do not get that close to a beast. Just,
it's being stupid.
Oh, yeah, it was totally stupid. Got a good picture.
You know, you're always hearing about people getting mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
Or getting, you know, gored by, you know, by a elk or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's 9 times out of 10, they provoke the animal and they were where they weren't supposed to be.
It's a 220-mile loop to get around Yellowstone.
Did you run it?
Yeah, I ran
one morning.
It. I got about 6 a.m. and ran it. We got out there like at 6 a.m. On just a random morning and stayed there till 6 p.m. Stayed for 12 hours.
Isn't it weird when you go on vacation? Because I did the same thing. Whenever you go on vacation, how you will get up early.
Way early.
You'll get up a lot earlier than normally do. And
we left at 5:45.
And by 10 o'clock at night, I'm usually wiped out. I'm ready to go to sleep.
The latest we stayed up was 11. And we were in bed for like an hour watching TV. We were so exhausted.
What I love about vacation, because you always get up. You get up probably an hour, 2 hours earlier than you normally do.
Yeah, because you want to experience the whole day. Yeah.
Did you catch the Jackson Hole action news at 9 when you went to bed?
I wish I would have taped it. The worst newscast in the history of mankind.
I love the small town.
It is hilarious. Julie was like,
small town news.
How did these people, I mean, Psycho Dave, you would be, I mean, Dan Rather of Jackson Hole.
Do it, Dave. Do it, man.
Seriously. Because they get these women that are kind of good looking, not real good looking out there. To host the news.
They don't have any Macy Jugsons up there, huh?
No, they don't. And
by the way, she's gaining weight.
Macy Sharp is attacked.
And she's gaining
God,
weight,
she's
too.
She hates you.
So much.
Well, I don't care.
But they can't
read. She's got big jugs and she's gaining weight.
And the news people do the weather. And so they're kind of like, and the system's going to be over here and it's going to be hot
big
and it's going to be great. You're going to love tomorrow's weather. I mean, it's ridiculously bad.
In a place where weather is everything.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
everything.
anything you do hinges on whether it's going to rain or snow. Here, it doesn't even matter, but they're all over it all the time.
Tell you what, that'd be a great gig to have for somebody that's, you know, you've made all your money and you've retired. Go up there and read the news on the local.
I would love to do that. I love that part of the country.
You know, make about $16,500 a year.
Yeah. But you don't, you know, the cost of living is, well, in Jackson it is.
Yeah, it's pretty high in Jackson.
Yeah. But in back to Yellowstone, so did you go to Old Faithful? Yeah, did you? Okay. Kind of anticlimactic.
I was really hoping that I'd be there when it didn't. When it didn't blow.
It's set
where you're going.
It's set to go off it's not set, but it goes off every
90 minutes.
Well, depending. It's depending on the earthquake. So they have lots of earthquakes there, and there was one here recently where it extended it to where you can judge it between like a 10 and 15 minute window.
But usually your guide, he can tell you within a minute when it's going to happen.
They don't have an Old Faithful kitchen timer.
No, they don't. Doing. But you see, you know, you can get within about, I don't know, 25 yards of it, maybe.
I still think there's some pipe somewhere.
You saw all those other geysers. Not even the tallest geyser they have. There's one geyser called the Bee Cove or Beehive that goes up 200 feet.
But it's the most consistent.
Right, it's the most consistent. The Beehive goes up at like every 18 hours or so. But you were literally walking in Yellowstone.
There's
you
some
were
pipe.
On.
There's some plumbing somewhere.
You're on a volcano. You were literally.
And one of these, and they'll tell you, one of these days it's going to go.
Well, they told us, a guy sitting there, he's like, you know what? You could see that this whole area blow. And when it blows, forget it. I mean, that area within 100 miles is 100 gone.
100 miles?
Gone. You're talking, I mean, Kevin, it is creepy walking around there because everywhere you look, it's just boiling water.
It's going to make.
There's little sinkholes that develop all the time.
When it finally goes, and they're saying it's going to go within the next 50, 60, 70,000 years.
Right.
And when it does, it's going to make Mount St. Helens look like a pop gun.
But the pictures that you took, they look like they were pretty close up. Did they have an area fenced off, or they have?
What you do is you're walking on little bridges that they have built.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk on the actual land. I mean, you can die. You stick your hand in there, your hand falls off. The water's so hot. You know, forget it. It's ridiculous.
I took a bath in there.
I mean, it is literally, it's boiling. Everything's boiling. The mud is boiling. And you're walking on it just going, it is so weird that this stuff could go up at any time. I mean, at any time.
Are you tempted to just kind of kick your shoe off in there and see if it's
incinerated? There are signs. Do not throw coins, because you know jackasses have thrown all kinds of crap in there, cantaloupes and whatever they can get their hands on. Just throw them in there.
Just to see what happens?
Just to see what, so they have to put signs up over every geyser.
They are so serious about that, too.
Just walk up to your buddy and put your arm around him. God, isn't this beautiful? And flip his cap off and knock it into the geyser. Just watch it go up in smoke.
At the Grand Canyon, they have of Yellowstone, they have this little lookout point. And there's a sign next to it saying, the old lookout point was 100 feet further than this one. But due to an earthquake, you know, 10 years ago, we've had to rebuild it. And so I was wondering if anyone was sitting on the lookout point when there was this earthquake and this shakedown where literally 100 feet of the mountain got knocked off. I mean, it's really crazy. And you see all kinds of wildlife. Elk, moose. We didn't see any bear.
Geese?
Not a lot of geese, Danny. A lot of geese out there.
It's kind of random.
It is.
No loons.
No loons. That's 531.
Any wombats?
Ants? Are there any ants?
There are ants, yeah.
What about wombats?
No wombats. All right, I want to save the rest of my vacation. I have many more tales to tell, but we don't have time. Maybe we can do it when Reiner gets back.
He's going to want to hear all this.
Yeah, because he likes that type of country as well.
And I can't wait to hear about his European vacation. You're talking about the Griswold. Reiner in Amsterdam, Reiner in downtown London. How about Reiner on an airplane for 9 hours?
Oh, pacing to and fro, holding in his gas.
Or not holding in his gas. One of the two. But we'll do that tomorrow. 5:32. Boy, we're late. Unbelievable. 5:32 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Saturday, it all begins. Cowboys season begins. We're going to go to camp, and we're going to touch on Cowboys training camp coming up next.